And always a blessing to see folks join the church and join. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Amen. It's a privilege to serve the Lord, but it's a special blessing to see folks join and get right into serving the Lord. This morning after we were done with our service, I saw outside by the sign there, Cole, I think, your youngest, 2 years old. He was, I'm going to say he was pulling weeds out of the dirt. I meant that service. I'm telling you, that service, praise the Lord. Anytime. But it was a blessing, and it's a blessing to see everybody who serves the Lord together with us. Romans chapter 13. Would you go there with me, please? Romans chapter 13. I'm going to ask you to read with me verses 11 to verse 14 of Romans chapter 13. Verse 11 to verse 14. And we'll read those together, please, verses 11 to 14. You can remain seated at this time, but we'll read those together. Romans 13, starting in verse 11, and then finishing off down there at verse 14. Let's go ahead and read those out loud together, please, beginning with verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Verse we want to focus in on is verse number 11 there. It says, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Some of our seniors might remember years ago, one of the very first programs on television was a children's program. And one of the opening themes was they would cry out to the kids in the audience. They say, what time is it? What time? How many know what I'm talking about right now? What time is it? And they would yell back, it's howdy doody time. And then they had this whole song and stuff. And you know, they got that stuff on video. I've tried watching it. It just doesn't do anything for me. But it was an anticipated time and an exciting time. Well, certainly the Bible's talking something more serious, definitely more serious than entertainment. In fact, it's talking about something quite serious, and that is that it's time to start living the Christian life. Yes. Notice what the Bible tells us. In times when there's financial uncertainty, when politics are part, and thankfully we're kind of past that for a while, but we're not past nations who seem to be itching to go to war. If you notice the last couple weeks, there's four different nations that fired upon each other. Not in America, thankfully, but you know, we're getting to a point where some things are very uncertain. And so what are we supposed to do? Romans 13, the Lord says that it is high time to awake out of sleep. He continues the wake up metaphor with the admonishment there in verse number 12. Take a look. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The metaphor is when you go to bed, you don't wear the same clothes that you did during the day. But here he uses the illustration to show there's things in life that need to be cast off and things of Christ that need to be taken on. We need to live in him in the day clothes, if you were, the armor of light. As believers, we have a moral obligation, the Bible says, to live a revived life, to wake out of our sleep, to come back to the power and life that Jesus Christ planned for every Christian. And he shares it right in the Gospels, in the New Testament, the church epistles, etc. And God is waiting on us. Yes. He's waiting on us. Yes. Turn with me, if you would, James chapter 4. Let's see. Certainly we need to be asking God for revival. I think that's a legitimate and commanded prayer, if I can say, from God's word. But he says this. He says, you need to start asking. James chapter 4, that's where we're going to go. Take a look at verse number verse number 8. And follow along as I read verses 8 through 10. He says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." The Bible says in Romans 13, it's high time to get back to a life that pleases the Lord, to live a life that is awake, that's revived, that's moving in the direction that God wants it to. So that's what I want to share with you tonight. That's the title. It's high time. It's high time. It's not howdy doody time. It's high time. It's high time. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Lord, thank you for your word. And though we know this passage has been in there for almost a couple thousand years now, and yet it's still appropriate for today, 2025, Lord, for this day, that we need to get back with you. We need to get back to the power of living in Jesus Christ, led by the Spirit of God, Father, the joy of salvation, Lord. I pray, Father, even now, help us to see what you want us to see and apply it to our lives. Perhaps there's someone who needs Christ as Savior that's listening tonight, Lord. I pray this would help them see that Jesus is the only way to escape the things of the world and the flesh and whatnot, to put on Jesus Christ, to receive him as Savior. But as a Christian, Lord, help us to see it's high time. Yeah. It's time to get back with you. It's about time. And I pray that this would be a time that you motivate us to do so. We thank you for what you're going to do. And I ask your Holy Spirit's filling in Jesus' name. Amen. It's high time. Going back to Romans here. First thing I want to share with you is this. It is high time we surrender ourselves to God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Romans chapter 1 through 11 gives us and shares with us the mercy and grace to those who call on Jesus Christ. It explains who Jesus is, and it shares with us when we call on Christ all the amazing things he provides. Let's take a look at one of them, Romans chapter 3. Let's go there. Romans chapter 3. All these truths and promises from simply accepting God's plan of salvation, accepting Jesus as our Savior. Romans chapter 3, here's what it says, verse 23 and 24 and 25. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his" what? "Grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." Propitiation, taking that requirement, that sin, that wrath for sin that God has, and taking it on himself and translating that from his righteousness to us that Jesus has done when we got saved. Romans 1 through 11 shows us God's mercy and grace to those who call on Christ. But Romans 12 is where things begin to change. Let's go to chapter 12 of Romans. Not that there's no instruction before Romans 12, but the admonitions begin to pile up in Romans 12. Take a look, verse 1, verse 2. In fact, let's read those together. Those are great verses. We need to have them in our heart and mind. Let's read them together, please. Verse 1, verse 2, Romans 12. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It is high time we dedicate, surrender ourselves, our lives, to Jesus Christ and live only for him. Yes. Live only for him. I'm married. I have children. I have grandkids now, which is exciting. I have others that I love and care about, you folks. But my motivation needs to be Jesus Christ, or everything else is going to fall apart. Yeah. If it's not Jesus that I live for, then something is going to fall apart. And God says he wants you and I to present our bodies, our life, a living sacrifice unto God. It is high time we surrender ourselves to God. Absolutely. Let's go back to Romans. Let's take a look at Romans 13 again here. Take a look at some verses we hadn't looked at yet. Verses 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10. Here's what it says. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The Bible tells us that the way to fulfill what God says to do is one way, one part of it is to love like Jesus loves, to love the way he said to love. In fact, he told us this in the Gospels, in the Sermon on the Mount. In various ways, God tells us that we need to love one another, love our neighbors and enemies, etc. Let's take a look at that. Matthew 5 is where we want to start. Christ-like love is part of God's standard for believers. And in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we commonly call it the Sermon on the Mount, he shares with us these various standards. We're only going to look at a few things, but God's plan is for us to live as he would, as Jesus would, and part of that is to love, as he says in chapter 13, Romans, love one another. Let's take a look at verse number 9. We're in Romans chapter 5. We'll start there. Verse number 9 of Matthew 5 says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, what? The children of God. You know, as a Christian, part of my character should be what I'm known for is striving to make peace, striving to make peace. If I'm not doing that, there's something that's not right in my Christian walk. God says that is something that he wants others to see in us. In fact, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. The word blessed there in the New Testament can also apply to being happy. Happy are the peacemakers who live and do things for the Lord, that they shall be called the children of God. Verse 24, let's go to verse 24 here in Matthew chapter 5. The Bible says this, leave there thy gift before the altar. And it goes through several verses about a relationship with one another. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Reconciliation is a part, a standard for the Christian life. To reconcile, to say, Lord, how can we make this relationship the way you want it, not necessarily the way I want? And if you're like me and you've lived in this life any amount of time, you've been hurt by people. How many of you ever have been hurt by somebody? Yeah, things that were said or things that were done, and that has happened in all of our lives. And God says part of that answer is for the Christian. Listen, Christian friend, you're not supposed to act like the unsaved. You're supposed to act like Jesus. To reconcile with the brother. In this case, it's if we have done an offense to somebody else. In chapter 18 of Matthew, it's if others have done an offense to us. The answer is simply, go talk to the Lord first and then reconcile between one another. Let's look at verse 42. Verse 42 of Matthew 5. We're continuing on. Here the Bible says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. This is an easy one, right? Well, if you just got paid and you're hauling your payroll in your pocket, you're saying, wait a minute, pal. Let me take care of my stuff first. let me evaluate where I'm at, whether I can be a help to you or not. Jesus says, listen, part of our Christian life needs to be a generous life. Not that we give away everything necessarily, but if we're asked, God, how do I help this person? By the way, some people, it's not money that they need. What's the old saying? If you want someone to eat, you teach them how to fish. You don't give them the fish, you teach them how to fish or whatever. Could be something that just means time. Could be monetary, etc. But the Bible says we need to be believers in Christ. And just like Jesus did, he gave as we ask. By the way, when you ask Jesus to save you, what did he do? He gave you salvation. He gave you. He didn't make you earn it. He didn't make you go to the cross. He gave it to you. Wow. Verse 44, let's take a look there. Matthew 5 again. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Boy, we saw the Lord Jesus go through this during his trial, didn't we? The Bible says he was slapped in the face. He was beaten by the soldiers. He was nailed to the cross, etc. He was accused of things he never did. And yet the Bible says in 1 Peter, when he was reviled, he did what? Reviled not again. And God says, listen, this is part of the Christian life. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Vengeance belongs to who, according to God's word? Vengeance is mine, saith Mark McCaskill. No. The Lord. Thus saith the Lord, vengeance is mine. I will what? Repay, he says. Repay. He's keeping an eye on things. And he says, as a believer in Christ, love. Love those who you at least believe hate you or despitefully use you, and pray for them. Pray for them. Matthew 7, let's go there. Matthew chapter 7. For me, it's just across the page. Verse 1. Verse 1 and 2 says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Judgment has a couple different connotations. Judgment can mean condemnation or the sentence that's necessary to announce. It can also mean evaluation. It can mean condemnation or evaluation. You say, which one is this? You can use both. You can use both. God says he wants us to look at ourselves in light of who God sees ourselves. In light of who God sees, instead of trying to make others, perhaps in our own image or whatever, the way we see instead of God. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Now, will we be judged eventually by God? According to God's word, yes, absolutely. In fact, the Lord Jesus, if you're born again tonight, the Lord Jesus is going to be your judge. And by the way, he's not going to send you back to hell. Amen? He's not going to judge that. What he is going to judge is what's going on in here. What's going on in the heart. Regardless of behavior, although our behavior needs to be Christian and moral and according to his word, even good things that I do, if I do it for me or some other reason besides Christ, he's going to see that. All of these standards have love as a motivation. Jesus' standards for the Christian life is to love one another, is to love like he loves, as the Bible says. Love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The Bible tells us also that Christ-like love is normal. Did you know that? It shouldn't be hard to do. And here's how it gets easy. It's normal from the believer who walks in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and we see this through Scripture, but we see it right there in Galatians 5 in the fruit of the one, the believer who walks in the Spirit of God and the submission of him and leadership of him. Galatians chapter 5. You ever try to flip through your Bible and no matter what you do, you keep flipping past where you want to go? That's where I'm at right now, I guess. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number. Okay, I'm going to be with you here in a second. There we go. Let's read, please. Verse 22 down to verse 26. Verse 22 down to verse 26. We're in Galatians chapter 5. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Christ-like love is normal from the believer who's walking. That's the key, walking in the Holy Spirit. By the way, Christian, how do you get rid of the Holy Spirit? When's the time when he's not with you? He always is, exactly. He's never away from you. And you know what he tries to do? He tries to get you to walk with him. We're going this way. Wait a minute, we're going this way, come on. You're going the wrong direction. Your motivation is not where Jesus would have it to be. You're not thinking of Christ, you're thinking of something else. Why don't you get back with the Lord? It's normal for the Christian who walks in the Holy Spirit to love as Christ loves. Yes. And that's something that we can enjoy. By the way, every Christian can enjoy it. Whether you've been saved for a short time, or decades, or whatever you've been through, God says he wants you to walk in the Holy Spirit today, to walk in him. It's high time we live the life of Christ's love. Number three, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. We're in Galatians still. Let's take a look at chapter 2. And here we're going to look at verse number 20 and some other verses, but if you're there with me, let's read that one together as well. This is a good verse to commit to memory. If you don't have this one to memory, I encourage you, put this one to memory. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, let's share it together. Let's begin. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you. Good job. Number three, here's what the Bible says. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It is high time we put on the Lord Jesus. We put on the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? If we go back to Romans chapter 13, we're admonished to do that very thing again. Romans 13 is where we started. Let's take a look at verse 11 and 12. The Bible says again in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Well, we thought Jesus might wait a little while, but guess what? He's on his way. He could be here anytime. We call this an imminent return of Jesus. He's going to come, and he can come anytime. The rapture is nearer than we believe. Now think about this. Again, this was almost 2,000 years ago. Has Jesus come back since then? He has not. And here's how we know. You're still here. You're still here. He could come tonight. But he wants us to live as if he could come right now. The night is far spent, verse 12, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 14 gives us the admonishment, since we understand Jesus could come and he could come today, we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Jesus wants the world around us to see him. Yes. When they look at us. Right. Jesus wants the world around us, family, work, people we work with, people we know in the store or wherever we go, in our own family. Jesus wants the world to see him when they look at us, when they observe our behavior, when we tell them who our motivation for living is. And Galatians 2 tells us it needs to be not I, but who? Christ. Not I, but Christ. When we are proud or selfish, worldly or sinful, we can't blame God. Well, you made it this way for me. I couldn't escape this life. No, he has not delayed the revived life from us. He said, come to me and I'll meet with you. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Ask me and I'll answer as you seek my face. It is high time to get serious about letting God have his way in our lives so that the world may both see and hear the truth of his salvation. What time is it for you? What time is it for you? For some, might need to be time to receive Christ. And that's the first step. For others, it might simply be, Lord, I need to awake out of this life, this things that I'm doing that I want to do, and do things that you want me to do. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to change everything. But he could start with one thing. And God wants to do that. He answers those kind of prayers when you ask him. Amen?
Yes.
How many have ever had seen God answer that kind of a prayer? What do you want me to do? And it seems like, man, within a short amount of time, you got the answer. He's just been waiting for us to ask him, just to ask him. It's high time to draw close to him. Heavenly Father, I pray, help us to see what you see tonight. Lord, that this is the time we need to awake out of sleep, the kind of routine perhaps that we are living, and live in the power of the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ as our guide and our motivation. Father, thank you for the salvation and the friendship we have in Jesus. And now, Lord, show us what is it we need to do to be more like him even tonight. I pray for your help as we consider that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. Let me ask you a couple questions and then I'll be done tonight. Friend, are you here tonight? You're born again. You know Christ is your Savior. Praise God. That's your testimony tonight. Pastor, here's my hand. I'm born again. I know without a doubt. If I were to draw my last breath, I'd be in heaven. Anybody like that here tonight? Amen. All over the room. Thank you. Christian friend, this passage is for us. Romans 13. It's for us to awake out of sleep, to get back on track with God. And seek his face, seek revival. And that could mean some big decisions, but it's got to start with going to him first. How many would say, Pastor, God's spoken to me as a Christian. God's spoken to me tonight. I want to live the way he wants me to live. And he's shown me something specific to do in order to take the first step. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Something specific. Amen. Yes. He's shown me tonight. I want to take the first step that he's shown me. Anybody else like that? Pray for me. God's shown me I want to obey him. Yeah. Question number two. Perhaps you're here tonight, and there might be somebody listening tonight too, it's not revival. It's not getting back on track with God. It's getting a new life with Christ, new life in him by accepting his terrible sacrifice on the cross, but a wonderful gift of salvation through that precious blood and his resurrection. Would you say, Pastor, I think I need Christ as my Savior. That's my need tonight. Would you remember me when you close in prayer? Not by name. I'm not going to do that. We don't embarrass people. Try not to. But I'd like to pray that God will help you settle that tonight and have no more uncertainty about that. I need Christ as my Savior. Would you remember me when you close in prayer? Here's my hand. Pray for me. Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you, God, for your word. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live, as the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. Several of us have said, you spoke to us tonight through these scripture and through our time together. There's something specific you've shown us to do. Pray for these dear folks, Lord. You'd help us, Lord. Help us to follow through on that. Seal it with prayer here in just a moment. But God, that you would have your way and your will in our life even tonight. Pray for our church, dear Lord. We need to live a revived life. Eaton Rapids, Lansing, Charlotte, the places around us, the family and the co-workers, they need to see Christians who are awake in Christ Jesus, not just routinely living along. Help us, God, to live a life like that in the power of your Spirit. And we'll ask this in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing a song. Perhaps God's spoken to you. We'll stand together and sing.
548.
If God's spoken to you, now's a good time to respond. Now's the best time, if you would, as God's led you to do something for him. We're going to sing 548. If God's spoken, you can respond right where you're at in your spot, in your chair, or you can make it a big deal and ask him up front. Pray and ask the Lord's help as we sing. Like you, dear Lord,
for others each day.
me draw so close to you, that your time comes shining through. Young people, meaning teens and college-age young people, are welcome to join us. We're going to head out to the Potter's family home there in just a bit. And as soon as we can, we'll get our way. If you need a ride, meet me right up here. If you need a ride to get there, ride and back, meet me right up here, and we can help out with that. But praise the Lord. Good to be in God's house today. What time is it? It's high time we get back with God and live for Him. Yeah, somebody was going to say howdy doody, I'll bet. No, it's not that time. But we're glad to be at God's house tonight. And through the day, God's been good. I'm going to ask Brother Howard Harmon, would you please close our day out with prayer? And then we'll be dismissed. And I'll meet any young people who need a ride to get there and back. I shouldn't say meet me up here because I got to go back there. Just let me know as we go out that way, and we'll get there as soon as we can. Brother Howard, if you would.
Heavenly Father,